The world was big and cruel, and cold and gray and sad. But Nerdy Thursday came up and made everybody glad. Because after that they had a whole lot more stuff to do with their minds, and they left the gray old square world behind. Nerdy Thursday, you're the man.
Welcome everybody to episode 3 of Nerdy Thursday. I'm one of your hosts, Sean, and some of my turn-ons include great wrestling entrances, listening to Styx, and long walks on the beach, I guess, if I'm going to take a pull from a Playboy episode. And with me, as always, is Mitch. What's going on, Mitch?
Not much, Sean. Just getting back into town from school. Glad you let me and everybody know what your turn-ons on are.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and hold on to mine, and if there's any pretty girls listening, they can go ahead and ask me via Facebook or Twitter.
That's a very good call. Or school. I heard you have some listeners at school.
I do. Up in North Adams at MCLA, we have a blast up there. For those that don't know anything about MCLA, it's right around the corner from Mount Greylock, which is now the magic capital of the USA, thanks to J.K. Rowling.
What's up, Harry Potter?
But before we get off track already, let's get right into when we watched It.
Okay.
And what you thought about it overall.
Okay, overall?
Overall.
Are we talking about the part that I saw before I passed out at like 3 in the morning and then finished watching the next day, or from start to finish?
Let's do start to finish, but then jump to where you remember to.
Yep.
And see if your feelings were different in the morning.
Okay. Overall, I fucking love this movie. I was so surprised at how well this movie held up from when I last saw this like 16 years ago.
I can believe that, because I still jumped at some points.
Yeah. I thought it was really awesome. Some of the characters I thought were just really ridiculous watching it back. Like, I don't know how I ever liked Adult Bill, because that guy has about as much charisma as a rock. But other than that, dude, this movie was awesome. For the entire 3 hours and like 10 minutes of it, up until you see the final boss.
The final boss.
Yeah.
We're watching movies, not playing video games. But I understand what you mean, the final representation of it.
Yeah, of Pennywise. You know, he does the clown, he's this evil, he's got, you know, this light-up bottom of this turtle, and then he's just this fucking spider that's like 10 feet tall and it looks like shit. I'm really hoping that we can touch upon this after, but I'm really hoping that this new remake of this that's coming out next year puts some shit together that isn't this, because that was, as even though it was fairly accurate to the book and to, in, you know, that's what Stephen King was going for, it looked like absolute dog shit.
Well, I mean, that's because of the time it was made.
That's true, but there's also
movies... seen better claymation.
Exactly. I mean, The Thing. John Carpenter's The Thing.
Good call.
Like, that was made prior to this. And sure, it probably had a higher budget because it wasn't a made-for-TV movie like this was. But it just blew this out of the water.
True.
What about yourself? What did you think of the entire experience?
This might be one of the only times that we can absolutely agree on something, but I also say it's a fucking awesome movie, which I'm going to be able to put in 5 years from now and still enjoy.
Yeah.
Unlike The Goonies, which go back to episode 2, and you'll be able to hear all about that in my opinion.
Yeah. Or even go back to the pilot episode, if y'all were lucky enough to hear it, and you can hear his very off-the-cuff response to The Goonies being pulled from the hat.
You made a comment about it. I haven't read the book yet. I know you did.
Yeah.
What about that final representation of it? Is that close? Is that why it was so hard for you to watch that and enjoy the ending?
Well, I mean, it's been probably 12 years since I read the book. I read that book back in high school. But it's just such a long book. It's like 1,300 pages, and really committing yourself to rereading something of that length is just so hard. You know, it's easy to do it with Harry Potter because that just flows through. You know, you got magical spells everywhere and you've got the story that you know and love and it's so easy to read. Whereas it has this very, very, it's kind of a difficult progression of the story, the way that it hops between two different eras. And Stephen King's writing style just isn't something that makes it easy to go back and reread something. But, little stupid tangent aside, from what I remember, honestly, I don't think it was too far off. The fight-wise. I mean, there's parts in the book that clearly they couldn't put into the movie.
Okay.
That we'll actually talk about after, because it's definitely something that we brought up, and it kind of relates to the Goonies in one very specific way. You know what I'm talking about. I see you nodding.
Which is funny, because right before you said that, let's get right into it, because right before you said that, I was going to ask you a certain question towards the end, and now this brings it right to me.
Let's save it. Let's give these guys something to look forward to. Because if you guys listen to The Goonies, and there's a couple things that we mentioned throughout the entire podcast, there's something that we're probably going to wrap back around to. But going back to the final enemy, you know, I think it's a very fair representation of what it was from what I remember. Nobody quote me on this, and don't get all pissy if you've read the book. It's been 12 years and we're not experts on anything.
Feel free to get pissy and direct it right at him on our Twitter or Facebook, because I'll enjoy to read those. And I'll be sure to bring them with me next time.
At Nerdy Thursday. But anyways, from the book, I'm pretty sure the arachnid kind of thing was more, it was a much grander scale, and it like pulled them into him instead of having a cocoon on the wall.
Gotcha.
And I don't remember Bill's wife being involved in the book. I also could be wrong, but yeah, it was just a much grander fight. Whereas this one was just, you had this, you can never tell by looking at it that it was like 10 feet tall, and then by the end of it, when they gang up on it and they just rip the thing's heart out, it's like 3 feet tall. You know, this thing was just changing sizes to fit whatever context the movie makers needed.
Good call.
Yeah.
But I know we did play a very fun game while we were watching it. Do you want to get into that?
We did. Did you, can I ask you a few things real quick first?
Yeah.
So we had 7 main characters.
Okay.
In the story, that's excluding Pennywise, and that's excluding Henry. So, from the batch of kids, who was your favorite? Kid form.
Ooh, my favorite kid.
Yeah.
Would probably be... probably Ben.
Yeah.
Ben, just coming into town, mostly because probably I like the movie Footloose, and that was pretty much the same character.
Yeah.
Being brought into another movie, but younger, and in a different horror sense.
Okay.
Otherwise, none of them really stood out to me.
Okay. What about the adults?
My favorite adult was probably Richie.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed Richie, especially the library scene when he gets back into town and first asks for Mike, and he's sitting there, and then you got Pennywise up on the banister.
Yeah.
And the balloons just start raining down and blowing up in people's faces, and he can just barely hold it together, but he's ready to just snap.
Yeah. For any of you guys who haven't seen this movie, it's about a group of 7 kids. Bill, Beverly, Mike, Richie, Eddie, Stan, and Ben. They're a group of kids that met in Derry, Maine. They all kind of became this group through different things happening. And they kind of join forces to not only take on the school bully, the class bully and his friends, but also this like evil presence that's in the town of Derry. Now it opens up with, you know, a young girl being murdered, and this black guy, you don't know who he is, finding a picture of this kid, and it dawns on him that something's happening. Next thing we know, Bill's getting a call. Mike, who's the black guy that just picked up the picture, tells him, hey, it's back. Us as watchers, we don't really know what's going on at this point. We've only heard like a clown laugh or whatever. And Bill's like, oh, how do you know? And Mike goes, we found a picture of Georgie. Goes into this flashback scene. You each one of these, we don't yet even have to go through all of these. Yeah.
Then Mike just continues to call all the other friends and say the same thing. And you get a flashback into the story of them as kids.
Yeah.
A little bit at a time.
Each one pertaining to who he's calling, who Mike is calling. So you get to see, for instance, for Bill, it goes back to his childhood where his little brother, Georgie, was murdered by Pennywise, who's this physical representation of this evil. It's a clown. Who's he played by?
Tim Curry. Only one of the greatest actors to ever live.
Absolutely. And he fucking nails that role. He makes Pennywise terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, so the story kind of, it weaves in and out of the past and present. It's going from Mike calling somebody back to their childhood. And the childhood narrations, you can watch them all on your own to form this complete story of these kids all coming together and meeting, going up against Henry Belch and whatever that other fucking loser was in his group, and starting to be tormented by this clown. And they start seeing really fucked up stuff happening, blood's exploding everywhere, and it's really just playing on their fears to where they have to come face to face with this representation and take him on and try to not, you know, put him out of his misery, you know, kill him. And they think that they do. Or they think at least that he's asleep.
While, so then we jump back to Mike finding the picture.
Yeah.
Making the phone call to all the friends. They come back into Derry.
Yeah.
And then as soon as they hit Derry, they start remembering things they had forgotten. They already start to see Pennywise again or other representations of the evil. Until they all get together and basically just have dinner, and then they run into Henry again. He gets into a confrontation with Mike. Mike's then in the hospital, and they all decide, like, that's the final moment, they decide that there's something wrong in Derry, and they have to go back into the sewer system as adults and take on the evil.
Yeah. Mike stuck around in town because as a kid, when you're introduced into Mike, he's this shy kid up in front of the class doing his show and tell on this project, and he did it on Derry. And he was naming all these catastrophes that happened, all the really fucked up stuff that happened in Derry. And as an adult, he's like the curator of the library, I believe.
Yeah, the supervisor or whatever.
Yeah. Later on, he stuck back to kind of keep an eye on things, see if it would come back, because he had this idea, he had this hankering, right? That every 30 years, which is about how long time went between these huge events, he figured out if he stayed there until it happened again, he would be able to be there when it happened and be able to get everyone back, because they all made a pact that if it started again, they would all come back. So he had this all kind of figured out, even as a child. What's really crazy is you said they all forgot as they left.
Mm-hmm.
It's because, and this is explained in the book, that when you leave, like, Derry has something on you. Once you leave, all of that just leaves your mind. Like, all of the crazy shit that you're seeing happening there, you instantly forget it. Like, it's like this mist that goes over your mind to kind of cloud everything, which was just kind of nuts.
But it says there in the movie, like, Beverly is having a run-in with Henry, and she looks over at one of the old men that has lived in town forever.
Yeah.
And he just kind of looks away and ignores it.
Yeah.
Does it go into that in the book or no?
I don't recall, to be honest. I know in the book it does talk about how everyone knows that there's something wrong with Derry. Like, everyone knows there's something wrong with Derry. But no one knows what.
No one wants to dive into it.
Yeah, no one wants to dive into it, and everyone just kind of does their own thing.
Fair enough.
So, yeah, that's actually a really great question. Because the book actually starts a completely different way. Clearly a way that the TV show couldn't take it. It was actually centered around this gay guy who kept running into this cop who was kind of crooked and into another gang member who beat him up, and then the gay guy actually gets killed by Pennywise, and they all blame it on the biker guy, like the dude that's in that little gang.
Okay.
It's almost like how Henry's story plays out in the movie, where he admits to everything, blah, 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 you know? So, yeah.
Here's another question I have for you. We just watched the movie yesterday.
Yeah.
What would you think if they broke it into a miniseries instead of a made-for-TV movie, and you had to watch the kids' part and then the adult part.
Ooh, I would love that. I would like that a lot. But what I love about the movie and about the book is the way it starts isn't with... Well, the book does start with the kids,
mm-hmm.
but it's just a quick glance of Georgie dying.
Okay.
And then it cuts to the present. What I like about the movie and the book is that it starts with Mike being like, it's back. And you're like, what's back? What's going on right now? And I love that because it immediately builds this sense of suspense and mystery behind it. But I could get behind a miniseries for sure.
Now, what if it was like this, though? So you watched all the kids' episodes,
yeah.
and it came out like on Halloween this year. Would you remember to watch it the next year?
Don't fuck with me.
You know what I mean? It just holds. It stops right there.
Yeah.
So you forget about it, and then it comes back, and Mike's calling and says, it's back.
Oh, dude, I would lose my fucking mind.
That would be an amazing...
Dude, if someone had the forethought to put something like that together, realistically, like, in today's Hollywood mumbo-jumbo bullshit, if they could put that together, oh,
right? Dude. That'd be insane.
That would be amazing. Because I would literally spend all year just thinking about that. I know that the new movie that they're remaking that's coming out next year, I knew that was coming out like 2 years ago, and I, almost every day for a month, I was trying to find out new information. This was like 2 years ago. It's just now come together this year, earlier this year or late last year. And I cannot wait. I can't wait. Like,
I saw the new picture, and I'm not completely thrilled about it. Because I know it's going to be really, really pretty much impossible.
This is going
to replace Tim Curry.
And this is going to be so much darker, I think, than the movie we just watched. And the thing is like, this is one of my favorite scary movies. And it's not, there's so much comedy in it that sometimes you forget that it's horror until he comes back or something really messed up happens.
Good call.
But I have a feeling that this is just going to lack that completely. That little sense of... Those little
Instead
pieces
of
gravity.
Instead of a roller coaster, it'll be a,
yeah.
just a downfall.
Yeah. Like, the spiral into the horror that these kids are seeing. I really hope that it doesn't take the same kind of remake thing that they've been doing lately where they just turn them into slasher flicks. And there's no psychology to the film. Because this movie was phenomenal. Like, psychologically... This movie was brilliant.
True.
And I think there is even... We were watching the movie, and we started pointing out characters, you know, things that made certain characters scared. Like, Bill, like, his guard came off completely when his little brother showed up. Beverly, when her abusive dad showed up. And,
Ben had his dad show up, but not in a scary sense of way, just to kind of lure you in.
Yeah.
Let your guard down type of way. Because he had lost his dad when he was young.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And he went back to, you know, he had flashbacks to when his mom was with her aunt and her cousin. And just how abused he was. And that he never had anyone on their side. But, yeah, guys, this is just such a brilliantly written story. And if you can get past the fact that I completely bashed the end of the movie. And I really fucking hate the person who plays Bill as an adult. It's worth it. It's so worth it to watch.
All right, well, let me ask you a question. You didn't like the guy who played Bill?
Yeah.
Who would you like to see in that role?
Okay. Bill is a horror writer. He's a horror story writer. And he wears glasses. He's got this frailish look to him. Honestly, they should have just fucking cast Stephen King in that role.
Not a cameo, the full-on...
No, straight up... I would have loved to have seen Stephen King in that role. A younger version, you know, in his 40s. Not, you know, how he is right now. But if you were to look at a dust jacket from Pet Sematary, right?
Mm-hmm.
That. I want that. Like, that would have been great. And honestly, they look very similar. Now, this is also a perfect world where Stephen King's a great actor. Because the adult acting in this movie is the shits. Like, the kids acting were great.
True.
How the fuck did they screw this up with the adults?
That'll happen from now on, from time to time.
Okay. Okay, you asked me about Bill. What character would you replace?
I would have probably replaced Ben as the adult.
Yeah?
Here he is. Just your God, where are you typical, going with your this? Typical guy. He's grown up. He's fat as a little kid.
Yeah.
They show him, and you can't really tell because, you know, it's just, you know, puberty and growing up.
Yeah.
But everybody who sees him in the movie, like, makes a big deal out of him losing weight, and he tells this story.
Everyone pitches a boner for him, dude.
And just the way he tells the story, and he's yeah. got the beard and everything he looks like, this is going to blow your mind. I do not know the actor's name, but I looked at him and immediately thought of Tool Time, and I would say it's the guy that plays Al Borden. That's who I would put as my ideal Ben.
Oh, my and, God. And, like,
the same time, a little bit later, remake.
That is absolutely incredible. That's, dude, that is so freaking spot on. It's not even funny. I don't think I can ever watch this movie again. You guys, if you've never seen this before, and you're old enough to remember Tool Time, I dare you to watch this movie and not think of Al Borland whenever Ben's on the screen. That's too good, man. That's too good. Do you have any other characters that you would replace?
I think we could replace them all.
Let's honestly just recast this movie right now.
All
right,
recast. So we got Stephen King playing Bill.
Yep.
The guy who played Al Borden playing Ben.
Yep.
Let's do Beverly.
Okay. Where would you go with this?
From the silhouette, like, did this a lot on looks, but then she showed glimpses of a subpar Jodie Foster.
Okay.
They look a lot alike. But then her acting just could have been better, and I think Jodie Foster could bring that.
Okay, wow, we've already got a very star studded cast right now.
Well, if I'm gonna recast a movie, I have unlimited funds, and they all want to do it.
And we got Stephen King and Al Borland.
Yeah, so of course I'm gonna get whoever I can.
All right, I'm going to replace Eddie mainly because I know we both have differing ideas on him, and I like mine so much more. And I'm gonna go ahead and drop Matthew McConaughey. If you're dropping whoever you just said, Jodie Foster, Matthew McConaughey would be Eddie to a T. In my mind, if I were to reshoot it, I would even change some of the lines, his mannerisms. I don't even care. I want Matthew McConaughey as my Eddie. Like, Eddie's got this mop of hair that's all way too good for a virgin. You know, spoiler alert. Like, way too nice and swept back. He's way too handsome to be a mama's boy.
Okay.
At 40 years old, you know? And I think a younger, like, 10, 15 years ago, Matthew McConaughey nailed that role.
So, you said you'd change some of the lines to make it fit him?
Yeah.
Where would he fit in? All right, all right, all right.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Big spoiler alert, guys. So if you really care about this, about seeing this movie and not having anything ruined, jump forward about 10 seconds. Make it 30. At the end, when he dies, they go, "You can't leave, Eddie Spaghetti." And he's like, "All right, all right, all right, all right." And then just die. That'd be amazing.
Probably be the most unique use of "all right, all right, all right."
That's amazing. All right, where would you go? What do you got next?
Thinking the next guy. Comic relief. Like I said, Richie was my favorite. He's a comic relief throughout the movie. This is going back probably more recent, and people will definitely recognize these names, and I think it's a mix of two people.
Okay.
So you have to figure out exactly which one you want to use, but either one of these would work.
I think we both picked one of these names.
Yeah.
And they're so similar.
And it's such a good blend for Richie. But I'm going to, like, figure out who it is. It's going to be, like, they're both going to read lines. Like, they're going to be at the table read. It's either going to be Bill Engvall or Jeff Foxworthy.
And yes.
Especially because you get to the end where it kind of goes like, "Oh, Richie went back to the movies," and he's standing there with the stupid cowboy hat holding the broken racket in the middle of, like, a shitty snowfall random sword fight. And you're just like, that's about as redneck as it gets.
Dude, and what's so funny is that we figured this out way before we even got to the end of the movie. Like, all, you know, pulling the curtains back, guys, We literally were watching this movie last night because we've seen this movie tons of times when we were kids together.
Oh, yeah.
And so we didn't have to pay that close of attention. And so we spent almost the entire movie recasting it. Just the adults, though. Just the adults.
Just the adults.
Because I don't think the kids really need to be recasted. Let's just bring them back.
True.
Yeah.
I would bring Seth Green back.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I couldn't believe when you're like, yeah, Seth Green's in this movie. I'm like, shut the fuck up. Yeah,
I'm surprised you didn't know that. No, that's like the one person that, but him and Tim Curry, I think, are the only people still in the movie here, like, in the industry.
That's probably true. I don't remember. No, I did see somebody else. I know the actor that plays Ben, I think, is still doing movies, but that's about it.
Okay. So I think we're down to two more.
Two more?
Stan or Mike?
I'm going to be greedy here, and I'm going to take Stan, because I was so convinced that this was a great fit that I think I ended up convincing you after a while.
It took a while. It took a few minutes to see it.
Okay. So Stan doesn't last very long in the movie. So you only have a few brief glimpses of him as an adult to see, to really get a good grasp on who he is. And I tell you what, if you took Tom Selleck from back in his heyday and you cut his hair down into kind of a crew cut, but you kept that mustache, he would make a great Stan. He would make a great Stan.
Oh, yeah. Especially, spoiler alert, when they're all back in the library, I believe after dinner.
Yeah.
And all the balloons come out of the freezer.
Yeah. Did we spoil what happens there?
I really think that was the
okay.
The cake. The icing on the cake for the Tom Selleck argument.
Yeah, yeah, that was perfect. And I think we would be throwing a nice little curveball to the audience, too, because they'll see, if they've never seen this movie before, they'll see Tom Selleck and be like, yeah, he's probably going to be one of the lead actors. Then about 20 minutes later, they're like, what the fuck happened?
All right, so we got one of the main characters left for that the kids grow up to adults. Who would you cast as Mike?
Oh, you son of a bitch.
We did Henry too, and I wanted to save that one for me. That's why I jumped and threw that to you.
Good stuff. I honestly forgot that we were about to do Henry, and that's really irritating knowing who you're going to say. But I think Mike would have been played great by Danny Glover.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, that would have been great. Like, the no bullshit Danny Glover. I don't need him spewing comedy. I don't need him, like, Lethal Weapon 3. Danny Glover. Like, I can't even name a movie where he's serious. Oh, Saw. Like, I want him Saw 1 Danny Glover. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
He's the obsessed detective.
Yep.
I fucking love that movie. Bam. We should do that movie sometime.
We could definitely do that, especially because it's October.
Hell yeah.
We have three more horror movies to do, or three more horror topics.
Well, we already have next week planned.
True.
I do believe. Are we spoiling that before the end?
No, hold on to it.
We're not.
I mean, before the end, yeah, but right towards the end.
Okay, cool. Okay, so we do have a surprise casting here who you may not really think of as a main character in terms of the older cast because of what you see happen to him as a kid, mm-hmm. but we do have one more character because he does make a comeback.
He does, and so I'm going to go ahead and spoil some things here. So it needs a physical being to actually go after these kids because half of them, they're starting to half remember. They don't believe. So he needs something in the physical world that can actually do damage to the people who don't believe. So he comes back to Henry Bowers, which...
Yes, he's in a psych ward, right?
Yeah, he's in the psych ward because he was down in the sewer chasing the kids when they were children, sees his best friend Belch get taken away, and then...
By the fucking light.
Yeah, and then the deadlights come back.
Yeah.
So they flash real bright on the screen. You can't see anything. And then you just kind of get Henry coming back. And he's just got this white, crazy hair that's everywhere.
Yes.
And so, as a kid, it doesn't really work. But when he gets back up into the psych ward, Pennywise is talking to him from the moon.
He Belch admits comes, to the killings, right?
He did.
Okay.
But then Belch is coming from underneath the bed, and everybody's talking to him. And you just get this one great shot. And all I could think about was Bernie Sanders being cast as the old Henry Bowers. Like, I think it would just, like, even with the hand mannerisms and everything, it would just be amazing.
Dude, you are so right. You are so right. You mentioned that, like, before we started filming yesterday. And to be honest, I couldn't get a clear picture on what older Henry looked like. I couldn't really remember. And then as soon as that psych ward scene popped up, I cracked up. I couldn't believe it. And this was like 2 in the morning. I think this was like right before I fell asleep. Dude, that was just absolutely perfect.
So if we can go back to one of our common themes that we've already established.
Dude, I was just about to go here.
Which we've only done 2 episodes, and it was definitely more prevalent in The Goonies than it was the secret pilot that some people can still get a hold of, is...
At Nerdy Thursday.
We thought...
Facebook, Twitter.
Andy was just a gross...
Disgusting.
Whore.
Yeah.
Throughout the entire Goonies movie.
Dude, she wanted to bang anything that moved. We didn't even talk about the fact that she wanted to mack it with Mikey, did we? Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did.
Who in this movie was the whore?
Bill.
Bill was the whore?
I'm just kidding. Beverly is a raging slut in this movie.
No, we talked about this. Not in the movie. She only kisses... Well, she... It's very much insinuated.
We're going to touch on both, because... The movie, definitely, it makes more sense as to why she's a raging slut if you've read the book. Now, in the movie, like, super abusive dad, wouldn't let her do anything. She ends up as an adult with basically her dad as her boyfriend. But as kids, like, she had a crush on Bill, and Ben had a crush on her. The first fucking scene you see... When they all get together as adults, as she goes up and she
kisses Eddie.
Kisses Eddie, goes up, kisses Bill, like right on the lips, gives Ben a kiss on the cheek, ends up like banging Ben out later in the movie, talks about being on dates with Richie. She made it with everyone to the point where I tweeted at Seth Green. Do you remember this the other night?
Oh, yeah.
And I asked him if he actually just plowed her out while making the movie because. That had to have gone down. It really did. But in the book, there's a scene towards the end of the book when all of the kids are in the sewer and like they're all doubting themselves and they don't feel like they're really one. And so she bangs them all in the sewer. Legit, they all just have sex and they, like
just they a victory orgy?
No, it's not even an orgy. They run a train on her. Like, I can't even make this up. Like, I'm 13 reading this book, and I'm just like, bookmark, you know?
The original Spank Bank, the bookmark?
You know, I'm a little kid, and I'm just like, holy crap, this is like everyone I know in high school right now. You know? Everyone I graduated was pregnant. But, yeah, in the book, she just... She had a train ran on her. And I don't even remember how old they were supposed to be in the books. Probably like 16.
Well, I know in the movie they're 12.
Shit makes... Oh, yeah, they are 12 in the movie, too. Or in the movie. You're right. Bevy running around with them boys.
That was very good. Maybe we should have recasted you as her father.
Thanks. I'm not tall enough. Oh, man. But, yeah. In the movie, as an adult, she's... I want to believe that the Goonies and It are in a shared universe, and Bev, as an adult, like, child Bev died, and Andy grew up and changed her name to Bev, and they somehow contacted her.
I feel like that is a very, very large jump, but I have seen some crazy stuff about shared universes. Like, recently I just read an article about the Adam universe, the Adam Sandler universe. Where all of his movies are connected.
Please explain.
I can't. It's a 15-minute video. I wasted a lot of time on my life doing that.
You know what is a great video? And this is really weird coming from a couple dudes that just drink beer and say shit a lot and fuck a lot.
Not each other. I think you mean fuck around.
I meant say the word fuck. The Pixar, the Disney universe...
That's amazing.
Fucking intriguing. Is that in the Pixar? Is it Disney Pixar?
It's Disney Pixar.
Okay. That's amazing. I love watching those videos. It's like, oh, this is how this is related to this. And if you look here, you can see a cameo from this character. And I just watched that and I just had my mind blown.
Speaking of cameos,
yeah,
we talked about this and then we learned a really fun fact about this guy. But as we're meeting Richie... He's in the movie, or like TV industry, the movie industry, whichever, and the camera's just going through the dressing rooms. Do you remember who we saw and had to pause the movie for to think about and see if it was really him?
I remember the part that you're talking about.
And I just jumped out of my seat and was like, oh my god, Penn Jillette's in this movie.
Yes!
Yes! And it made perfect sense for him to be there in the back of like a random dressing room.
Dude, it looked exactly like him. And it's so easy to say that someone looks like someone from behind. But Penn Jillette is a pretty recognizable dude all
around.
Well,
with the ponytail and the beard and just how massive the man is.
Yeah, and he was wearing a pinstripe suit.
Plus the guy turned around and you could see like half his face and you're just like, oh my god.
Oh my, dude, that is a very, very, very good point. Well, I think we probably covered about as much as we could cover on this movie. If you were to rate this movie's adventure, how would you rate it?
I'd give this adventure... So they go down the sewer.
Yeah.
First thing they get down there, Ben's the first one down. He finds one of those clown, like, plush buttons.
Yes.
I'd give this adventure, on a scale of 10, nine plush buttons.
Nine plush buttons?
Nine plush buttons. Just because at the end, like you said, the monster's jumping back and forth, and then this is like an all immortal being that's just terrorized Derry for every 30 years.
Yeah.
And then they literally just... I hate this fact. They have the silver earrings and pop one of the deadlights and it falls over.
Yeah.
And then they just go and tear its heart out.
Yeah, that was such an anticlimactic ending. And honestly, I really wanted Bill to get hit by a car in the ending sequence. Like, the very end of that. Like, if he got hit... Like, that would be a very Stephen King ending of a book to, like, have this happy ending and then just have one of the main characters massacred by a car. I would have... fucking cheered yesterday.
that's fucked up.
Would you call this movie a coming of age story?
No, not really.
No.
Because they have their adventure, and then it just drops off, and then we pick it back up.
Yeah.
Whereas the Goonies built up the entire way, and you have the climax of we save the day.
Yeah.
Where this kind of jumps.
Gotcha.
They're already of age.
Okay. How would you rate Pennywise, the clown, as a villain?
Okay.
I think this is a very fair question because with this being October, I want to see how our villains match up with each other.
So what's going to be our villain scale?
Knives.
Knives.
It's got to be, right?
One
to a bowl of scalloped potatoes.
One to a bowl of scalloped potatoes.
And knives.
In our scale, yeah. Okay. On our amazing scale that we have created, and we love to ask people that question.
We'll get to this in a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It blows them away. But for me, I would give Pennywise... Now, when I think Pennywise, I think the clown. Yes. I don't think of it.
That's what I'm thinking of.
I'm thinking clown.
I want Pennywise the clown. That's what
we're Or anything reading. That you associate with the clown, like yes. The werewolf with the costume on, stuff like that. I give Pennywise... a 26 out of 27 knives.
That's huge.
It's going to be hard to beat.
That's huge, and you know what? You can't even argue with that. Know what's happening right now? Do you watch the news? Have you been on Facebook in the past week and a half, 2 weeks?
Yeah.
There's fucking clowns everywhere.
People are all freaked out about the clowns, and all they're doing is standing there.
Yeah.
So imagine if one of those clowns could get into your head.
And make you see shit.
And make you see what it wanted to make you see and knew your biggest fear.
Yeah.
So not necessarily a clown, but it's a clown that addresses your biggest fear.
Nice.
That's insane.
That is
That's why
good.
I gave him such a high rating.
That is actually a really outstanding way of saying this. And even though a lot of the movies that we'll watch, their kill count is about what you see on screen. His kill count is fucking ridiculous.
True.
Because they allude to it. Yeah, they allude to how many kids have been killed or go missing or are found mutilated. He is
thousands.
He's fucking vicious.
Yeah. Yeah, he does not care.
So he's probably one of the most prolific.
He's one of the deadliest.
Yeah.
Movie villains
of all time.
How many knives would you give him on a scale of 1 to a bowl of scalloped potatoes?
You know what? I feel really bad that I'm going second right now because 26 hard to beat. I can't pick 26. You already took that slot, and I don't feel. I feel like he should get a 27 just because of the fact that he is truly the greatest movie villain of all time, pretty much, from what we're gathering, if we're going straight by statistics. But the fact that he's not the only entity in this movie, and I know we're only judging him, but the fact that there's the presence of the Deadlights and there's the presence of this little shit spider monster bring him down a notch to me.
Okay.
So I'll give him a 24.
All right.
I'll give him a 24 out of 27 knives.
That's still not bad.
That's not bad. So I saw this look in your eye as I was saying, you're like, oh God, how low are you going?
I was on the edge of my seat to see how much that bumped him down. So you asked me about the adventure in this movie.
Yeah.
Recently got you into playing Dungeons & Dragons, and I believe we did have some good dungeon-esque adventures in that.
Those were my favorite parts of the entire fucking thing.
That's basically what the sewer is. Is a D&D dungeon.
Okay.
What would you rate that setting on a scale of 1 to 10 blood-popping balloons?
Whew. That's a very good scale. That's an awesome scale. Okay. So I'm going to dive into this just a little bit. I'm going to give these guys a background because while I think this is great, I don't think it's as great as it could be because of two things. You only really see... You see... four spots in the entire sewer. You see where they enter. You see the middle ground that has the aqueducts or whatever that cross-sect. The main section where they encounter Pennywise as kids. You also see the area where Belch gets killed in the pipe.
Okay.
When Henry tries to kill, what's-his-face, Stan. And you see the lair.
Okay.
Now... I think it's really cool, and what immediately made me think of was Diablo. Like going into a dungeon in Diablo, like my mind immediately went there, and I thought that was super cool. But you just didn't see enough, and it didn't seem like it was ever big enough for anyone to get lost in, even though they made it seem like they could. Like, Bill fucking takes off as an adult, and they find him in 2 seconds.
Well, I was going to say,
and he takes off
getting
and
they, into it,
yeah.
They get down in there when they're kids, and they literally just ask Eddie, which way is Derry? And he just points and they go.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So they're trying to get back underneath. Derry, it's just... The whole idea doesn't make a lot of sense. And then Bill takes off as an adult and makes it to the door. The door is a foot and a half tall. And it's got candles lit. And skulls. Who's decorating this? And who's lighting these candles? But all bullshitting aside... I truly believe in our D&D games, the dungeons in that were way better than this. And those were just things I came up with in my mind. So I would rate this dungeon 6 out of 10 blood balloons.
It's still pretty good.
Yeah, it's not great. It's nothing to write home about.
No.
But average, I guess.
That's
it'd,
fair.
It'd
That's
probably fair. Be like if my brother was describing a dungeon. And trying to lead us through it. All right, guys, you took it right. Oh, you're at the boss.
Yeah.
You're at the boss, guys. A dragon comes down, you know?
Fair enough.
Oh, man. So, I think, I think that pretty much sums it up for it. Now, we did mention that we do have an idea for next week. Do you want to shout that out real quick?
Yeah,
I actually have an idea.
I
have an idea because it's going to lead into a plug for us. Our... idea for next week, because next week will be will next Thursday be the 13th?
Yes.
Next Thursday is going to be the 13th. What we're going to do is we're going to do Friday the 13th. Now, what we need you guys to do is we need you guys to reach out to us on Facebook at Nerdy Thursday or on Twitter at Nerdy Thursday and let us know which one you want us to do. If we don't get enough response, we're just going to revert back and do the original. I think that's fair, and I don't expect a huge response right now so early in our phase and what we're doing.
I'll be happy if we get 15.
Yeah.
If we can get 5 of the same answer, we might have to do that one.
Fuck it. Even if you guys want us to do the original, let us know. That lets us know that you're listening, you're having a fun time, you're engaged, and you want to hear what we're doing a little bit more. So please, a little plug from us, find us on Facebook, like our page, engage, chat on our posts, and, you know, have fun. Find us on Twitter. I'm on Twitter almost every day talking to people through Nerdy Thursday. I know sometimes we'll get a tweet in and we both go to respond, like 40 minutes apart. We both go to respond, and this poor guy gets two completely different responses because we're on this shit. So.
We're usually on the same page, but
yeah,
every now and then we jump back and forth.
Which is surprising, you know, judging by our interactions here. but yeah, hit us up there. Do you have anything you want to plug? Anything you want to talk about?
No, I think we're good. The only way to let people know to shut it down and that we're finished is saying,
beep, I'm not beep. Done yet. Beep, beep. I'm not done yet.
All right.
I do have one more shout out that I want to do. I want to give a shout out to Cowabunga Breakfast for making the song the invention of Nerdy Thursday and allowing us to use it as our theme song at the beginning and at the end of our episode. If you like what he does, I certainly do. Every time I hear it, it puts a smile on my face, and I laugh, and I'm singing it for the next 2 hours. If you like what he does, find him on Bandcamp at cowbungerbreakfast.bandcamp.com. Yeah, I want to say it's Bandcamp. Pretty sure it's Bandcamp.
It's definitely Bandcamp.
Okay, cool. But, as you said, there's really only one way to shut it down.
Beep, beep, beep. Until next Thursday. Keep it nerdy.
In 1952, the world was a darker place. There were only 6 days in the week, not seven like we know today. And everybody walked around wearing clothes that were painted gray. And they were sad almost all the time. Yeah, they were. And back in 1952, there were 6 days in the week. You could never know which day was the one for you, but I do. In 1965, somebody became alive, and they had a great idea to make a brand new day. It was called Nerdy Thursday, and it was a day for all the people across the world who played D&D and Magic the Gathering and had LAN parties, and was their very own day for them. The world was big and cruel and cold and gray and sad, but Nerdy Thursday came up and made everybody glad, because after that they had a whole lot more stuff to do with their minds, and they left the gray old square world behind.